As we think about this morning of worshiping the Lord this way, and let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the beginning of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. And God's put on my heart to talk about, as we think about what all's been going on in our communities and in our state and in our country, you know, where is He? Where is Jesus in all of that? The wise men came seeking Him, and that was a question they asked. In fact, if you were to take the Gospel of Matthew and assign a key verse to Matthew, the Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, is a verse a lot of people turn to for the key verse. It says, "Where is He who has been born King of the Jews?" So our question this morning, where is He? We want to think about that, and where is this Messiah and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in people's lives today? Let's start out by reading Matthew chapter 2. I'd like to read verses 1 through 12 this morning. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they had come into the house where they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Let's pray yet again as we get started this morning. God, thank you for this scripture. Thank you for the narrative of you bring to us from your word about the wise men coming, seeking Jesus, looking to come and worship him. Pray that as we read your scripture this morning and the message that you have for us to understand, that your Holy Spirit will reveal it to us from your word, impress it upon our hearts and minds this morning so we can leave here changed, being used by you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you read this text of Scripture, we understand that it is really a journey of faith and worship for these people. In fact, we should be seeking to do that own journey ourselves of expanding our faith and worshiping Jesus. You know, many sermons have been preached of wise men still seek Jesus. Wise men come seeking Jesus. And that is true. You want to find wisdom. The true source is found in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's where the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so seeking the Lord is a beginning step for many people. And so where is He this morning? If you think about, you know, the Christmas narrative, a lot of times we'll have the nativity scene. In fact, we've got one put up next door already. We're still trying to progressively get everything decorated, but you'll have, you know, a crude-looking stable there. You'll have Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus. You maybe have a sheep or a donkey. You'll have the shepherds there, sometimes an angel, because these are all parts of the Christmas story, the narrative that gets told. You'll have usually three wise men. Now, the Bible does not say there were three wise men, although traditionally people have tried to assign them names and say they were kings from particular areas. You know, there's a lot of things that get studied and read into where the wise men came from. But when they came to town, you can't help but notice they caused a stir. And when these people came to town, they were important enough that they came to the king, King Herod. And they caused quite a stir in the court there. because all of a sudden everybody was scrambling trying to figure out what was going on. King of the Jews has been born. What are you talking about? Wait a minute. Hold the fort just a minute. They caused quite a bit of stir. So when these people came to town, people noticed. Okay, so we know that they must have been of some social status. Traditionally, a lot of times you'll see there's a camel assigned, even on the background picture. But the reality is camels were regular caravan and pack mules of the day. People of royalty or royal status a lot of times would ride horses instead. So it's very possible that they came on horses. So be careful not to read other things into the scripture than what is there. There are many people that have talked about different areas they could have come from, maybe like Arabia, maybe even Sheba. We know the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon and understood what was being foretold, understood what was happening. Many people think that they came from Persia, from Babylon, because we know from the Babylonian captivity, when Daniel, remember in the Old Testament, Daniel and many of the Jews were led away. They became some wise men and counselors for the kings there. And so they understood the prophecies of Scripture. In fact, you can read about some of the prophecies even in the book of Daniel. But Isaiah and the different prophets foretold in the prophet Micah, and we're going to read and talk about some of these, foretold of the coming birth of the Messiah. So, it's speculated that the wise men could possibly have even come from Babylon, who would have been at that time under Roman influence and were looking for the Messiah, the king to be born to lead them out of that captivity. So just be careful as you read and understand what's going on with the Christmas story, not to read into it more than what's there. And we'll talk about the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But, as we follow this scripture, we see that the wise men set a great example for us. First of all, they came seeking the King of the Jews. They came seeking who this king was. Where was he at? We read that they saw a star in the east. That doesn't mean they looked east and saw the star. It's like, we're here in Otter Creek and we saw the star. They were in the east and they saw the star, so they set out on a journey because they understood, they recognized from Scripture that it was a fulfillment of prophecy. They understood that something major was going on. They were studying the heavens, and you understand even all the way back from the book of Numbers, if you turn in the Old Testament and read what the prophet Balaam said in the book of Numbers 24:17, it talks about the star of Israel. Let's turn there. It's a verse worth marking later on to go back and read and study from. But Numbers 24:17 says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult." Okay, the prophet even then was prophesying that there would be something great and grand going on. We see that through Scripture that many different prophecies that Jesus fulfilled through His birth. And we'll be talking more about that as we move over the next several weeks, getting closer and closer to Christmas. But what I find fascinating is that when the wise men came to Herod, the king, reading what it says, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" This is in verse 2 of Matthew 2. "For we have seen his star in the east." They recognized the star that was there was signifying the birth of the King of the Jews, his star. Now, many people get hung up on what the star was, how it actually came about. There are people that try to study and say that it was a supernova, and then people dispute that, say you would see the path of a supernova. There are people that have said it's the coming together of three different constellations, the sun and two, a planet and another star, and it made the star. There was one that happened about the time, roughly close during the time of the reign of Herod. Other people have said that, it could be a comet like Halley's Comet. People have studied that in the repeat cycle and tried to backtrack that. Those things aren't super important to me in and of itself, other than taking Scripture at its face value. A star appeared, and the wise men recognized it was a fulfillment of Scripture. For all we know, it could have even been the Shekinah glory of God fulfilling and prophesying, fulfilling that prophecy and showing God's glory in that moment. We don't know, but what we do know is something so significant happened that it caused these men of renown, these men who were studied men, who had obviously been studying Scripture, to recognize Scripture was being fulfilled in their time. And they didn't want to miss out on it. They wanted to travel and go there and see and find this king who had been born. I find it fascinating that they said it was his star. They recognized something major was going on. They set aside their routine to seek the king. That in and of itself is important. We see in the prophet of Micah, the book of Micah in the Old Testament, and that's a hard one to find. You kind of, if you find Ezekiel and Daniel, it's between there and Matthew. You can find the book of Micah, but in Micah 5, I want to read verses 2 through 5 this morning. Give me just a second to get to it. As I said, it is a little difficult to find. Thank you, Will, for putting that up. And it says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrath, through you, though you're little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." So it's talking about, yes, Jesus was being born, but he was being born physically, but he has already been from everlasting. We want to hang on to that and come back to it later. And it says, "Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel." Verse 4 says, "And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for he shall be great to the ends of the earth." Verse 5, it says, "And this one shall be peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land, and when he treads in our palaces, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princely men." See, this time when Jesus was born, he came as the Prince of Peace. He came as the shepherd to Israel. In fact, verse 4 of Micah 5, 4, Jesus really uses almost as his key verse in his ministry to the children of Israel. Over and over, you see him saying in the Gospels, "I am the good shepherd, I am the shepherd." You know, he constantly referred the usage of shepherd and flock and sheep, and it would have appealed to a lot of people, especially those around Bethlehem, who, by the way, there were a lot of shepherds that raised sheep for the worship services that carried on and went about in the temple. So Jesus really based a lot of his ministry around this verse about being the shepherd to Israel. Jesus, the King. He is the King. He fulfilled prophecy. In fact, if you look in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, Daniel 7:9, we see talking about the everlasting, the father of old, the renowned. Daniel says, "I watched till thrones were put into place and the Ancient of Days was seated." Talking about God the Father, who always has been and always will be. "His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire." God is revealing himself to man through the birth of God the Son, Jesus. Fulfillment of the Scripture, the coming Messiah. And these wise men sought him out to worship him. They understood and recognized there was a fulfillment of Scripture. If you look at other prophecies in the book of Isaiah, in the Old Testament, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." See, this very scripture is still being played out before our very eyes. See, people don't understand that when Jesus came that time, he came as the Prince of Peace. When he returns at his second coming, it'll be the warrior who returns, establishing his kingdom. It's already been established, but it'll be a physical establishment of his kingdom then. He's coming back The wise men recognized this. They understood this. There was a major shift, a major change that is happening right before them in this time setting. And they wanted to be part of it. They sought out the King of Israel, the King of Jews. Not only did they seek the King to recognize His birth, they sought Him to worship Him. You know, that's a question this morning. Where is He? Where is Jesus? Do you seek to worship Him? You know, obviously you are seeking to worship Him this morning. You've taken time out of your schedule. You've set aside. You're here worshiping. Do you seek to worship Him? See, some only want to know facts. Some only, you know, placate the worship style. It's only a emotion that they go through. Herod was doing that. He was being so deceptive because if you understand who Herod the king was, he was very devious. He was a very jealous king, a very insecure king. This man was so vile, he even murdered his own son and worrying about him coming to the throne and taking over his throne. He murdered one of his wives because... worrying about her taking over the throne and usurping his authority. So when Herod was setting about to, oh, let me know where this king has been born that I can come and worship. No, he was worried about his throne. In fact, if you read further in this text, read about the slaughter that took place. He was so careful about, tell me about the timing of when this star appeared. He wanted to know how old the child was. In fact, later, if you read through this text, he set an age like 2.5, almost 3 years and younger. And all the male children in that age range were slaughtered in that region. Just to be sure, just to make sure that the king had been annihilated. What a wonderful thing it is that God did for Joseph and Mary in this. And we'll read and talk about the flight of Joseph and Mary into Egypt and very possibly using the gold to finance the trip to make that escape. But God knew what was happening. God is ahead of the evil intentions of man. But Herod was so vile in that way, he was seeking the facts, not seeking true worship. There are many people that do that today. They have a God in place, but they're not worshiping the one true God, the King of Kings. We sang this morning, isn't He beautiful? Isn't He wonderful? He is the King worthy of our praise. He is the true King. You know, you think about that and what worship includes. The wise men gave us a good example of what true worship includes. If we read through this text, and running my mouth here and not getting back to where I'm supposed to be, but in the main text of Matthew chapter 2, we can read about what they did. When they left Herod the king, it says, when they heard the king, they departed. And then the star reappeared and led them to the house. So, you know, traditionally we always have the little nativity scene there at the end, but when we read this scripture, we understand that the wise men came to a house. So it was at some time later. It wasn't on the birth night of Jesus. It was he had obviously grown some during that time because some changes had occurred in the family household and housing situation. Because they says, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down, this is in verse 11 of chapter 2. They fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. So we see that worship includes, you know, some multiple steps. We see that true worship includes submission. Understanding, you know, I'm submitting myself to a higher authority. That's what true submission is accepting that there is a higher authority. There is one who is over me. True worship includes that part of submission. We see that not only was there submission, but there was adoration. There was praise. Adoration is when people speak praise or show praise or, you know, something to convey your deep love and affection for someone or something. Adoration. True worship includes adoration. Even by us gathering together and singing and lifting up our voices, and you know, we do the best we can. We may not recognize the new tunes or some that are so old we haven't heard it in quite a while or some new we haven't heard it, but you can lift up your voice in adoration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can lift up showing your deep love and appreciation. We see that the wise men came to him presenting some gifts. So submission, adoration, and homage. What is homage? Homage is showing public respect. Obviously, these people created quite a stir when they came to town, so much so that they were allowed a visit with the king straight away, King Herod. And then something so much so that he not only acknowledged their presence and had them come into his court to speak to him, but he asked them to come back. Obviously, he had evil or other intentions in place, but you know, these people had such prestige and social status that he wanted them to come back into his presence. They had created quite a stir. For them to go to this home, to this child, and to worship him, they were paying homage to the King of Kings. They were showing public respect. And it's a good example for us to understand and to worship in the same way. You think about the gifts that they gave. They gave gifts. Normally it's something that's sacrificial, but they gave gifts acknowledging who he is. When you talk about the gold, there's a couple different things. And as I said before, be careful not to read into Scripture something that's not there. But we know that gold is often symbolic of somebody of royal status because it was a rare metal to find. Many people considered it precious. So gold was something that they would honor somebody of royal status with. So by giving gold, they were acknowledging that he is king. Another application of gold is it's also a way of offering up worship. Even if you read in the Old Testament, even in Kings, where you read about the construction of the temple and the altar before the God, they would overlay it with gold, something about being in the presence of God. So gold was a very precious and significant gift that they were giving. You think about the frankincense that was being offered. A lot of times an incense would burn in the temple before God, in the Holy of Holies. They would offer up an incense burning before God to have a pleasant smell, a pleasant aroma going before God. You think about the oil of the myrrh, giving an oil which was really an anointing signifying that he was coming to die. They would anoint a body with oil as they were going about the entombing and burial processes. But by giving him the myrrh, they were acknowledging this was the Savior, the Messiah, who was coming to die, to be the sacrifice. We know now, looking back and understanding, that he was coming to be the sacrifice for our sins, the true atonement, the paying the death penalty. The gifts that they gave were very significant. As we think about this morning, where is he? Where is Jesus? Now we know from Scripture that physically he is on the throne of God, seated at the right hand. And the Bible says, don't listen to somebody says, well, I saw Jesus, or he came. He says, don't listen to that. You'll hear of him, somebody saying, appearing in diverse places. But the next time Jesus will be here will be at his coming. The Bible tells us that. So in terms of physically, where is he? We know where he is. We know what he's doing. He is building the house for those who believe. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself. We know what he's doing. He's there making intercession for us too, being our high priest. But the from our view, looking upward, looking that, where is he? Where is Jesus in all of this? In making an application to the wise men. You know, there are many people that keep Jesus at a distance. They observe it from a faraway land. Yeah, there's the star. Yeah, there's the church. I understand what's going on. I understand what God's out there doing. But that's good over there for you. There are some people that don't want to make that journey to get to where God is. They want to keep him at a distance in some far off place, some far off land. They don't even want to journey to the home where he is, to the house of God. You can see that this morning in houses of worship all across the land. Yes, people are dealing with the virus and we're worshiping together in different ways, broadcasting short range on social media, posting it later for people to join together and worship. We're having to be creative as the family of God and as the believers, the body of Christ, in how we worship. But there are people that won't even do that. They will not come to the house of God to worship. The wise men give us a great example. Find the house of God where he is at, that you can show up and you can worship. Give gifts before him. Come before him, opening up your heart. You know, you gotta think, where is he? Is he in some distant land? Are you even showing up to the house of worship? But more importantly, is he in your heart? That's the most important question. Is he king of your life? Is he king and ruler over what you have going on in your life? Where is he? Psalm 2, verses 10 through 12, talk ultimately about trusting God. See, we said that this journey of the wise men was about faith in worship, and it really is. It's about, do you trust God to do what's best for you? It says in Psalm 2, verses 10 through 11, "Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." So it's talking even to those who are ruling. You know, acknowledge God for who He is. Acknowledge Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh. It says, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish in the way. When His wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those who put their trust in Him." It's telling you, even those in authority, from the highest in authority to the lowest in terms of authority about, place your trust in Jesus Christ. Understand who He is, what He came to do, and trust Him today. Where is He? Where do you place Him? Are you trusting Him? Are you willing to do what the God is telling us to do? In Philippians chapter 2, we'd like to read verses 5 through 11. That'll be the last scripture we're going to this morning. But in the book of Philippians in the New Testament, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father." Are you willing to do that on your own accord? Are you going to be so stiff-necked and stubborn that you wait till God makes you do it? Where is He? Where is He in your life this morning? Are you willing to do the things that God is calling you to do as a believer? Are you willing to trust and obey? Are you willing to expand your journey of faith and worship Him as God is calling us to do? The wise men gave us a great example to follow. Are you willing to do that yourself this morning? Are you willing to be used by God in this day and age to talk about the things of God during this season? You know, the wise men are an easy, approachable way. You can talk to somebody about the Christmas story, the Christmas narrative of Christ coming. Being willing to set aside being God on the throne and being showing up in the form of a man, in the form of a baby, to be the sacrifice, God in the flesh, being our sacrifice. See, that's what it's all about, people placing their trust in Jesus Christ. You know, we have many traditions at Christmas. The greenery bows that we deck the halls with, all those have different significance that people have placed faith and misappropriated trust, even all the way back to decorating Christmas trees. There are some people today, that's part of a pagan thing. People used to place their faith and say there were spirits that lived in the evergreen trees because they were green and growing while, you know, everything else around was dead. Those are all part of things that would happen around this time of the year, the winter solstice and all. Even the wreaths are part of Christmas tradition. People would make wreaths out of ivory. Holly and ivy are all parts of Christmas tradition. On Christmas Eve, the first one into the house, if holly made it in, the man would be the one ruling the house. If the ivory made it in, the woman would rule the house. Whichever one made it in secretly to the house first on Christmas Eve. There are a lot of things that are built into what happens around this time of the year. Even acknowledging the date, December 25th, as the birth of Christ. Christmas. It's when we celebrate the birth of Christ. We don't know for a fact that He was actually born on that day, but what we do know is that it's the time of the year amidst all these other traditions that we turn our attention and focus on worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Where is He in your worship? Where is He in your life? Let's stand, and the invitation will be open. You can come to the altar if the Holy Spirit is calling you, but God is wanting to have His way in your life. God is wanting to have His way in you, in how you worship, and where you place Him. The question is, are you willing to let Him have His way? The invitation song will be, "Have Thine Own Way," and I'll be down front and have a mask on if you'd like to come pray with me and have something to be praying over, or just bring it to the altar. But let's sing, "Have Thine Own Way." For joining us for worship this morning and being here. And I'd like to close with this verse out of the bulletin. Brother Charlie, can I get you to pray and close us, Glenn Proud, in just a minute? 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Look to the Lord and His strength and seek His face always."
God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Your only begotten Son. Thank You for this season and for what it means to us. Father God, help us to remember that the little baby in the manger, the child that the wise men came to see, was the same Jesus that was sacrificed on that cross for our sins. Oh, Lord, please forgive us. Thank You, Father, for providing a sacrifice to cleanse us. Lord, now as we go our own ways, we ask that You bless each family represented here this morning. Ask that You watch over us. Bring us back again safely in the next appointed hour. We pray it in Jesus' name.